Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Let's kick off this week and this hour with two questions. What is Carbon TV and where can you see it? Carbon President Julie McQueen joins me next with those answers and more. BET has a unique and unusual weekly late night series on its hands with Cop Watch America. The subject? Alleged police brutality and abuses of power and seeking justice for those situations. Here, executive producer P. Frank Williams after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, countdown to the mega programming era. Bobby Moynihan goes animated on Comedy Central. That double dip of Up we promised you last week. And our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. Simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A wonderful Monday afternoon to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. First of three episodes this week, wrapping up October and kicking off November. We're on Monday, Thursday, and Friday, all at this very hour. 62 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. A wonderful guest coming away over the next hour. We invite you to be part of the program. They want to hear from you, so interact with them. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number, as always, is good anywhere you catch us across the country or around the globe on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Our chat room is in business, already a person in the room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Of course, while the program is on the air, you can connect others with you by taking on Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook icon or Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Julia Quinn and Carbon TV joins us live from Southville, Michigan, after these news notes. All systems continue in go mode for Friday's launch of the mega programming service era via smart TVs and TV connected devices. Apple TV Plus leads off Friday, followed by Disney Plus 2 weeks later, and HBO Max and Peacock around spring 2020. HBO Max expected to divulge key details of its rollout tomorrow at a special investors presentation. As for Apple TV Plus, Paley Center for Media hosts a pre-launch presentation of The Morning Show with Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, and company tomorrow night here in New York. By the way, AT&T head Randall Stephenson, AT&T, the parent of WarnerMedia and HBO Max, in a story predicted that at least 50 million HBO Max subscribers will be happening by 2025. Saturday Night Live star Bobby Moynihan will come to Comedy Central via Lofi. It's an 8-episode series about a drug-dealing manatee who uses Central Park Zoo space as his, his operations base. The network is also developing Blank and Son, a web series of father, son, and son's internet fetish as a TV effort. Blank already plays on Comedy Central's website and will get 8 more installments there. National Geographic's Genius series will start filming season 3 about Aretha Franklin this December. That's in order to premiere these episodes on Nat Geo next spring. Cynthia Enbio, whose portrait of Harriet Tubman hits movie theaters in a few weeks, plays Franklin. Emmy-winning director Anthony Hemingway will helm the first episode and co-executive produce this round of Genius, which won Emmy Awards in the past. And will an upcoming Fresh Off the Boat episode serve as a prelude to a spin-off series at ABC? To be determined, maybe. That's according to a Variety episode released last hour. The episode is entitled Magic Motor Inn, which we film next month. It's about an Indian family and Eddie Huang's relationship with their daughter. One official at ABC, with knowledge of the situation, claims that the network will ask for a second episode to review series potential. That's for Fresh Off the Boat, which now is in its 6th season and running on Friday nights paired with American Housewife. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Southfield, Michigan, where I believe that state is in a wonderful uproar over them winning the Michigan football team winning over Notre Dame on Saturday night, the head of Carbon TV, Julie McQueen. Hi, Julie.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. Let's get that first question answered off the bat. What is Carbon TV?
Well, what is Carbon TV? In my world, Carbon TV is everything, obviously. I live and breathe it. Carbon TV is the largest OTT platform for online distribution of outdoor content. So anybody who loves the outdoors, we have content that will keep you entertained, and it's free to watch. So we stream outdoor content more than pretty much anybody else out there.
And what kind of outdoor content are we talking about?
What type of content?
Right.
Oh, gosh, we have a little bit of everything. So we have hunting shows, we have fishing shows, we have agriculture, so farming, we have a lot of DIY shows teaching people how to do things outdoors. One of our really popular things is we have live cameras. So we have, for example, the Crush Cam. So it's a live camera feed that watches a deer feeder. So deer come up, and while they're eating, you can just watch them. And people get really attached to these animals, so they stream this nonstop, watch the animals come in, kind of look forward to seeing them every day. We have live barn owl cameras, you know, just all different cameras out there watching wildlife. I think we did have a fish cam up until recently, and we're reinstalling it in a different location. So it can be educational when you go in that route, but also it's just really entertaining. We have Outdoor Weekly, the only outdoor news program. You know, just a lot of different things for anybody who loves the outdoors.
And are these shows that the network commissions to be produced especially for them, or do you take it from outside producers? How is the program put together?
Yeah, so a lot of what you see on Carbon TV, we license and distribute. So those are producers or content providers who, you know, they might actually put that content in other places, but they're looking to expand their digital footprint, and Carbon TV is the place to do that. We also have some original content, so it's owned by Carbon TV. We have creative control over it. You'll see a little bit of that on there as well. So it's kind of a nice mix of, you know, people who are out in the world creating this content and putting their heart and soul into it, and we allow them a massive platform to distribute that.
Julie, with all the smart TV programming services, that's both smart TV sets and TV Hex devices that are on the scene right now, and quite a few more that are going to be distributed soon, including the mega services I mentioned on News Notes, like Apple TV Plus, as of Friday, a lot of listeners might be surprised to know that this is not a new network. This is a service that's been actually riding the smart TV set and device wave for quite some time.
That's right, yes. We were ahead of the game in the outdoor industry. You know, we were thinking of these things long before a lot of other people had considered that that's how the majority of the population would be consuming their content. And so Carbon TV is no stranger to streaming our content, you know, through smart TVs and devices, you know, however that might be, Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV. You know, we have iOS and Android apps, and it's all free to watch.
Mm-hmm. How did you come up and your colleagues come up with the idea of doing a service like this?
Well, actually, Carbon TV is the kind of the project of our founder, David Farbman, who is very well known in the outdoor industry as a trailblazer. And he came up with the concept of Carbon TV quite a long time ago. And back then, it was a part of a different larger media company. And then in 2018, there was an acquisition. That media company split off, and now Carbon TV stands on our own. And we have put a lot of focus in 2019 into updating the platform, kind of making it newer, different, amazing, kind of stand out from all of the other ones that are trying to come up behind us. But David Farbman, our founder, was definitely the leader back in the day who had the forward thinking to come up with this idea. And, you know, it really, it's something that is quite amazing that he was able to come up with this back before anybody else had really thought of it.
How long did it take, Julie, for you and David and everybody to get this service on the air? And did you try to go multicast or through basic cable or premium cable before you decided we're going to go the smart TV route in getting our content to viewers?
No, so Carbon TV as a company has always been digital. So it's always kind of had this digital footprint. My personal history, I have a background in network television and linear television and production. And the way I actually came into this position at Carbon TV was, you know, I had a very successful career in linear television and on the networks. And I could kind of see that digital is where the industry was starting to turn to for the outdoors. And I took a leap of faith and began distributing my own content on Carbon TV years ago, and my career did better than ever because more people had access to my content. I was getting better feedback from the viewers. People who had already cut that cable cord were now able to stream all of the content I was providing. And from there, I actually started working for Carbon TV as a contractor, and now I'm the president of the company.
We're talking with Julie McQueen. She is the president of Carbon TV, one of the first programming services to get on smart TV sets and smart devices. We're talking about Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Samsung smart TVs, and smart TVs powered by Android TV. She joins us live from Southfield, Michigan this half hour on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. And coming up, we're going to tell you about a contest that she will be on the air to give the prize to, and what a prize it is. So stay tuned for that. And if you have a question or comment for Julie this half hour on our program, make the call. It's the 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And we have two people already in the room. First of three episodes we are doing this week, we got another good one for you, a special day, Thursday, at this very hour. First up, BBC Executive Director Courtney Thomason will be with us. And they've got a brand new day card coming on Saturdays, this Saturday, called Wonderstruck. So BBC American Executive Director will tell us all about it. And the following Tuesday, ABC presents this long-awaited special, The Little Mermaid Live. The executive producer of that project, Katie Mullen, will join us. That's all on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Where did you work in broadcast, or as you say, linear television, Julie? And what is a big leap of faith for you to go from that environment to Carbon?
So back when I was in network or linear television, I was airing my content in the outdoors on Sportsman Channel and on Pursuit Channel, you know, which are, you know, network channels where a lot of people air their outdoor content. And the business model for that was, you know, I mean, just a standard network type of deal. And what I was finding is over the years, a lot of people wanted to see what I was working on, but, you know, a lot of people had already started cutting that cable cord. And I remember one night I had a conversation at a dinner party, and the person next to me was talking about this digital revolution that was going to start happening in the outdoor industry. And at the time, no network personality who was in my position at the time had actually jumped ship from the networks and gone strictly digital. And so I kind of wanted to be the first one to try that. And lucky for me, all of my partners stayed with me, my sponsors stayed on board, and I made a fantastic career out of it. And, you know, I can sit here now years later and really credit that to the forward-thinking model of Carbon TV.
So this service is ad-supported, Julie. Who are some of the major advertisers that your service has picked up?
So in 2019, Carbon TV did a deal with Chevy Silverado. It's an exclusive deal, so the only ads that you'll see on Carbon TV are for Chevy Silverado, and we're very proud of that. There's, you know, it's an iconic brand, and they're fantastic partners, great to work with. And, you know, my role as the president, I really liked that move because it cleaned up our platform, first of all. It made it a better user experience overall, and it also allowed my team at Carbon TV to really focus in on in making improvements to the platform, rebuilding parts of it, adding new structure to what we have to offer, instead of them being distracted by having multiple advertisers. So our loyalty to Chevy Silverado in 2019 was phenomenal for our business in those ways, because it really did just clean house and make everything so much better for us.
Now, are they making special ads for Carbon TV, or are they putting other ads that they run on broadcast or cable or elsewhere on your service?
For the most part, you will see the same ads in other areas as well.
Now, one thing that they're doing, which is beyond the advertising, is that they're actually going to award one of your viewers a 2019 Silverado with tax, license, features, etc., totaling over $100,000. Explain what this contest is all about, and you got a role to play in that.
Yeah, so it's kind of an amazing sweepstakes that we're doing. And actually, Kryptek Outdoor Group. So a lot of people have heard that name. They know the brand. The Kryptek brand has been in, you know, video games and featured films and movies and TV shows. It's a camouflage company. And so Carbon TV actually partnered with Cryptech on this giveaway, and we came up with this really cool name for this dream truck, and we're calling it Invictus. I mean, it sounds kind of cool, right? So Invictus is basically a one-of-a-kind, top-notch, fully customized 2019 Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. We have that truck right now sitting over at a place called Prefix. Prefix does a lot of the high-end, one-of-a-kind types of vehicles that, you know, we all kind of dream about seeing. So they've actually got the truck over there. And about once a week, I go over to Prefix to see Invictus and to check on the progress. And we've been documenting that and streaming it on Carbon TV. The sweepstakes is actually free to enter to win. So we don't charge any entry fee. And people can come enter to win every single day. So it's not a one-time entry. So eventually, someone is going to win this truck. I mean, it's just, it blows my mind because I go in and I see the truck, and it's literally my dream truck. This is the truck that I want, and I've been able to watch it come to fruition. But Cryptech is our partner in it. Chevy, obviously, you know, we're huge fans of Chevy here at Carbon TV, so there's nothing better than seeing these brands come together like that and really, you know, marrying two brands that just make the most incredible truck that I've ever seen in my life. And we're going to give it away for free. And, yes, I'm going to deliver it to the winner.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be when? Before the end of the year?
So the final entry day to enter the sweepstakes is December 15th. It's super easy to enter. It literally just takes, you know, a few seconds. You go to carbontv.com. You don't have to pay anything. You just, I think it's the email address. You sign up, and then you just are entered to win. You can come back every single day and do the same thing. It's really that easy.
Before we go back to the programming, two things. First of all, am I correct in noting that viewers actually helped customize this vehicle with suggestions? And secondly, do you see this contest as a vehicle to perhaps, if you don't, let's say, have other sponsors advertise with 30-second spots or spots that they produce, do you see contests or other situations as a way to get more advertisers involved with the network?
So to answer your first question, yeah, we actually – this is the beauty of digital distribution. So we were actually going over there and asking our audience, would you rather see this or that on the truck? So I know one of them I said, how much of a, you know, suspension lift do you think we should put on this thing? Should we do, you know, 4 inches of lift or 6 inches of lift? And we took polls, and we actually listened to what people said. We did 4 inches of lift. There's been a few other customizations that we kind of reached out to our audience, and people, you know, they would engage with us on it. And I think it was a good move because now people are more connected to that truck. They feel like they had a part in creating it, just like I do. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting system, and by using this digital platform, we're able to, in almost real time, get feedback on this project that is ultimately going to go to one of those people who helped us design it. You know, and the way I see it on the second part of your question, you know, we have such a great relationship with Chevy over the years, and really this sweepstakes is not meant, you know, in a way of like, oh, this is going to open us up to different advertisers, nothing like that at all. This is really just, you know, we realized that our close relationship with Cryptech and our close relationship with Chevy Silverado, you know, by putting the two together, it kind of just made this powerhouse of an awesome event that we felt like our viewers deserved. You know, we like to create this buzz and excitement and really use our platform to give back to our viewers in some way. We're always doing, you know, giveaways and sweepstakes, but this one's pretty huge. So this one was a way to tie in two brands that we really love and put it out there for the audience.
Carbon TV is playing right now 24/7 on all sorts of smart TV devices, from Amazon Fire TV to Roku and Google, and also Apple TV. And it's also running on Samsung smart TV sets and smart TV sets powered by the Android operating system. We have Gina McQueen, the president of Carbon TV, with us. She's live from Southfield, Michigan, this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Tom and Applebaum with you live from New York, 60 degrees at the top of the hour this Monday afternoon. And we want to hear from you. So ring in 646-652-2906 or use that chat room, SimonApple04. Maybe another person just went into the room. Like I said, first of three episodes this week. Our third episode episode kicks off November with an advanced look at a brand new Turner Classic Movies documentary called Image Makers. It's about some of the pioneering people in cinematography in film. We will have the producer-director, Daniel Raymond, as well as Michael Segrow. He's the writer. And the special will be running on Turner Classic Movies next month. That's Image Makers. That's with us next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell Live. And the following Friday, we will have one of the co-stars of the new Disney Plus series, High School Musical the Musical, Matt Cornett. We also have to have one of the writers or directors of that series, one of the highlights of Disney Plus when that launches over smart TV sets and devices on November 12th. That's all coming up this Friday, next Friday, right here at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Julie, what are the programming plans for your network for 2020 and beyond?
Well, 2020 is going to be a great year for us. I can already say that. You know, one thing that I'm really passionate about is original content. I have a background in production, whether that's, you know, line producing, field producing, executive. So I still do a little bit of that on the side. And one thing I want to see for Carbon TV in 2020 is a little bit more original programming, original content. You know, that's something I get really excited about. But, you know, the other thing that I'm noticing, Simon, is that a lot of people who are airing content right now on network television, they're looking for another option. And that option needs to not include censorship, first of all, which is something I'm really proud to say about Carbon TV, is we celebrate the people who air their content here. And I'm excited to see more and more people reaching out to me on a daily basis, looking for a way to distribute their content to the masses that will be celebrating them and getting behind them with the marketing and the, you know, all of these things that we have to offer. And so 2020 for Carbon TV is going to be very exciting because we're bringing some new shows on that are very high quality, interesting shows. We're branching out into some different demographics. And it's fun for me because I do a lot of our new content acquisition. And so when I'm going through these new pitches and ideas and, you know, pilots that people are creating and sending over to me, it shows me that there's a lot of people out there in the world creating some really incredible content, and they're just looking for a home for it. And so I'm very proud that Carbon TV is able to provide that.
Julie, in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, there were plenty of scripted series dealing one way or the other with outdoors, from Sea Hunt to Lassie, to Worry Birds, to Ripcord, to Cowboy and After Daktari. Do you get scripted proposals, and is scripted a possibility for the future of your service?
You know, I wish more people would send me those, I'll be honest. You know, a lot of them have switched over to the reality style, the non-scripted. You know, one of the things as a creative person that I would like to see come to me more often, for any of those who want to submit pitches to Carbon TV, I would like to see more scripted stuff. And the other thing I would like to see is more linear stuff. So, you know, for example, if you go through a season of a show that airs on Carbon TV, for the most part, they're going to be one-off episodes. So this episode does not lead directly into the next episode. It's not a storyline that people would follow. And I think it would be really cool if people would come up with some creative ideas on how to create kind of a linear series pitch for the outdoors. It's not something I see a lot of. And in my position here at the company, I think that I should be encouraging people to think outside the box and create more things like that.
Mm-hmm. Julie, final question. Given that we're now in not only an era of plentiful TV and smart TV services, but we're also in an era of interactive TV, where more and more shows are giving viewers the opportunity through smart sets and devices to choose the direction of their shows, what about interactivity? You mentioned earlier that you have a number of live camera feeds of different animals, different wilderness or natural environments. Any thoughts about interactivity and how that might play into the future of your service?
Yeah, that's one thing that my team and I have been discussing pretty frequently lately, and it's exciting because we do have the technology to do that. You know, one thing, speaking of, you know, being interactive with people who are already on our platform, one of my big ideas for 2020 is to start having live events in our community forum at Carbon TV, where we can have, you know, some of our celebrity hosts or even producers, some of the chefs that do the outdoor cooking shows for us, you know, have them actually on location with a live video stream with real-time interaction from the fans and from the audience. And I think that people really like that. You know, we're seeing a lot of people engaging with live videos. We're seeing it actually with our live cameras that we stream right now. People create fan pages for them. It's a really exciting thing to see people getting that excited about content that they can find on the platform. So 2020, you're definitely going to see more interactive content coming from Carbon TV. It's something all of our producers and our hosts are getting behind with us and putting a lot of effort into. And that makes me really proud. I like to see everybody who works with us and airs on Carbon TV, who we distribute their content. I love to see all of us coming together as a team and creating a future like that.
If you have a TV-connected smart service or smart device such as Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, etc., you can get Carbon TV. And if you have a Samsung Smart TV or a smart TV set powered by Android, you can get the service as well. It's operating 24/7. For more details online about the service and also how to be involved in that contest to win a $100,000 plus 2019 Chevy Silverado, here's where you go online, carbontv.com. It's C-A-R-B-O-N-T-V, carbontv.com. Available 24/7 on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Julie McQueen, the president of the service, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. Hopefully much, much more coming up in next year and the years ahead, and we'd love to have you back anytime. It's been a joy and a delight.
Thank you for having me on, Simon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a super week.
Okay, thanks. You too.
Julie McQueen, the president of Carbon TV, joining us live from Southfield, Michigan. Our Carbon Trivia question coming up momentarily, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a very unusual thing to hear by, how about trying this audiobook? It's called Three Women by Lisa Daddio, and it deals with three women, it's actual fact, around the country, and how they deal with the subject of desire, desiring things in their life or people in their life. And you can catch that book, Three Women, right now as part of your trial run of Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including wherever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get not one, not two, but three free audio books for a trial run of a month. Plus, you get great customer service from Amazon.com, Audible's parent. And by the way, two of those books are from the growing catalog of Audible Originals, original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from around the United States, as well as great one-woman and one-man shows. And again, it's all available for you gratis for a one-month trial. So once again, hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. Today. Now it's time for our Clap Trivia Question of the Week. We're carrying over the question that we started a week ago. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win Monty Python FAQ, the book that tells you all the stuff to know about spam, rails, spam, nudging, bruises, and spam from the classic TV series Monty Python's Flying Circus by Chris Bassani, Brian Cogan, and Jeff Nassy. And here's the question. Who was the first actor to play Sherlock Holmes on United States television back in 1954? Who was the first actor to play Sherlock Holmes on U.S. television back in 1954? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name where you link. By the way, if I hear about the answer, you can find episodes of that series on YouTube right now. So once again, if you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full name and address. So if you get the answer, you will get that prize back to you ASAP. If you missed the question a moment ago, we don't repeat it before the end of the day. We'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So all the very best and make it happen. When we come back, we have that double dip of our up segment we promised you on Friday. We'll finally give it to you with an update on that segment later in this next half hour. But first, maybe one of the provocative segments we have done on this program in quite a while. It's all about the new BET late night series, Cop Watch America. Executive producer P. Frank Williams joins me live from L.A. as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. To see that through our radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradioandspreaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker, your home for Music on the Couch, the long-running music show on radio. It happens tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Check out Music on the Couch tonight on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday afternoon. Welcome to those who are just joining us from the bottom of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 62 degrees at the top of the hour. And we invite you to stay tuned. We have a great guest coming your way this next half hour. Plus, we have that up segment we were promising you on Friday that we will finally deliver. And if you have a question or comment for our next guest, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Over the last few decades, there have been a number of long-running shows dealing with the day-to-day life of the police. Cops, Real Stories of the Highway Patrol, and more recently, Live PD, which you can find on A&E on Friday and Saturday nights, and also for the first time in syndication on a daily basis. But one of the most unique shows dealing with that day-to-day life, and by far the most controversial, started on BET in late night last Wednesday. It's called Cop Watch America. And it deals with people who are seeking justice for what they see as alleged cases of police brutality and other abuses of power. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producer of Cop Watch America, P. Frank Williams. P. Frank, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing today? Thanks for having me, buddy.
It is a pleasure, P. Frank. What's been the reaction to the series so far since the first episode ran last Wednesday?
Well, no, we've gotten a lot of media coverage. You know, a lot of people have tuned into the show and pretty great ratings. You know, I think for a lot of people in urban America, we're often seen as sort of the victims of this. And so this is a show that's taking charge of the narrative and sort of filming on our own and fighting back. And, you know, it's, and I guess you could say it's the anti-Live PD. So it's been a lot of great reaction. It airs Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. on BET Cop Watch America. It's 10 episodes, and it follows the lives of activists in New York City as well as Atlanta. It's about 12 people total.
How long has this program been in the works for?
Hey, so, you know, I've been working on this show. It came out from a documentary called The Biggest Gang in New York City. That was for Newsbar Renowned Films, NYPD, The Biggest Gang in New York. So we took that documentary late last year, and I started to develop it the top of this year and, you know, put together the cast and find the people. So it's been, you know, a year plus in development, and so it's been great to finally see that product of all of that hard work, you know, airing on BT on Wednesday nights.
Was there any one incident that really provoked this series to get on and for BET to take it?
Well, I think that, you know, there's been a number of police brutality incidents that have been happening, you know, over the last few years. I think one of the more, you know, sort of, you know, there's different ones from Oscar Grant. Obviously, Eric Garner is a humongous inciting incident. And even the one that wasn't necessarily police brutality, Trayvon Martin, still resonates, and Michael Brown as well, the young man who got killed at the convenience store. So I think it was a series of multiple sort of incidents where young African-American men and sometimes women, you know, Sandra Bland and stuff like that, got into incidents with police. And so I think for BET, whose audience, you know, an African-American audience and other races, deals with this on a daily life, you know, daily basis, showing it from our point of view, I think, was a big deal. So I think that's what the network was trying to do. And me as a producer, I was just trying to show activists, people of color, not being a victim, saying, hey, it's our right to film police, and we want to make sure that they're accountable and held accountable.
By far, it's fair to say that this is probably one of the most sensitive programs that BET or any network has run lately. And when you deal with issues of, and I have to say the word alleged, alleged police brutality, alleged abuse of power. It's a very, very tough subject because it's one that can cross the line very easily, and it's one where also you can stereotype a whole group of people in, well, everybody's this or everybody's that, or on the other end of the spectrum, you know, most police are law-abiding. Most police do carry the law, and we're also at a time right now where in some cities like New York, there have been incidents where the police have been where they've been attacked by citizens. Like, for example, here in New York, the situation with the balloons and the water, where the relationship between police and members of the community can be at a very, very difficult, sensitive stage. So how do you approach, with all of that, how do you approach the view of this program and what you want to accomplish?
Well, you know, obviously this is not a all police are bad type of series, and please don't, you know, I don't think that, you know, a lot of people may be anti-police or whatever, but that was not the intent of myself are any of the producers on this program to create an anti-police type series. So let's say that. It's a complicated issue, policing in our communities, you know, of whatever it may be, black, white, green, whatever. Police are sent out and do a very dangerous job. You know, other than the military, it's probably one of the most dangerous jobs that you can do. You never know, anything can happen. So, you know, I think for us, we wanted to make sure that it took it out of sort of to hear it from the point of view of the young men like a Michael Brown or Oscar Grant or the people who are working in their communities, because a lot of times we don't get a perspective of the activism or the activists who are trying to do that. And so, you know, we just wanted to show both sides, and we wanted to show, you know, because, you know, and I'll say this about the show, there's probably 12 people on the cast. And some of the people don't believe in cop watching. They don't believe in going out and filming the police, taking a, you know, accountability for that. They think that it's a pointless thing. Some people believe on the show that, you know, we need to get rid of police and that, you know, they're abolitionists. Other people believe we need to work within the system and work and get more officers of color in different neighborhoods that they police so that they understand that culture. So we try to take a layered approach to the whole thing, and that it's not one monolithic thing where people are like, you know, F the police and we just want to fight. So, you know, this is a complicated issue, and so we did that one in mind. So the activists aren't all just in one direction is what I'm trying to say. It's very layered.
And Pete Frank, that's why we wanted to have you on today, and that's why we wanted to have an extended discussion about this. To devote most of this half hour to it, because there may be people out there who will see the title or will read the press release or and they will get an impression that may not exactly be what you and everybody involved in the series is out to do. And we also point out, too, that we now have a situation of policemen now considering suicide, where the suicide rate among police officers is up. I don't know if you're, but the Fox News Channel last night did a town hall on the subject. Harris Faulkner, who's one of their, I think, best anchor people on that network, did that. And kudos to Fox News for doing that, because it is a subject that is hitting police all over the country. So how did you develop the series and in terms of the cases that were presented, and also finding these advocates who are trying to seek justice?
Well, you know, thank God, you know, that the Fox, you know, Fox News is what it is. But I do think that, you know, police officers in general have a very tough job, and that the media, to be honest, has now portrayed a lot of officers, unfortunately, sometimes as anti, you know, community. And so I could see why some police have a tough job. You know, me being out producing this show, I met and encountered, as I was casting this, a number of police officers who says that they believe the media has turned the world against police, and that a lot of people see police as negative sometimes in the community. And, you know, I don't know the number, but I would say the large majority of police officers are positive people who want to help the community and gotten into that job because that was their goal. In developing the show, I wanted to show activists who were actual cop watchers, meaning that they go out. One of the units in New York City is called the Cop Watch Patrol Unit. They literally, for the last 7 to 10 years, have been going out and filming the police. They make sure accountability. They take records of certain officers being abusive. And sometimes they take situations where nothing has happened. An officer is good. Some of the activists in Atlanta, you know, they don't film necessarily, but they do activism. One of them is a Native American activist. You know, Atlanta is the home of civil rights. So a lot of their stuff in Atlanta is about civil rights. So, you know, I try to make sure that it was layered and that it wasn't one, as I said earlier, monolithic approach. It's a very difficult and sensitive subject, but I'm glad that we finally have a chance for people of color to kind of speak for themselves in this particular show. And there are some scenes in the show. There's a really fantastic scene where the cast in Atlanta, they go to a barbershop called, and they have an event called Clippers and Cops. And in that situation, Atlanta police officers and the community get a chance to be in a neutral sort of environment and talk about it. And one of the officers was saying that too often people portray some of these criminals as like do-gooders and great people. You know, Michael Brown was caught stealing something. And so, you know, officers are putting themselves on the line to try to make sure that crimes don't happen. And a lot of times these activists say negative things about police, you know. So we were trying to give an environment where police can speak for themselves and the activists can mix. So that's the general goal, you know, develop a show where activists and people like that of color, I mean, to some extent, these activists consider themselves the new school Black Panther Party. They don't use shotguns. They just use cameras.
We should point out that the program is produced by Critical Content. That's Tom Foreman's company, which has done a lot of great unscripted and scripted programming of all different kinds. such as Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Excuse me, for some reason I still got a little hoarse there. Extreme Makeover Home Edition and other wonderful things too.
Well, yeah, and we also produced the show Catfish, as well as I did a show with them called Who Shot Biggie and Tupac. And obviously Critical Content is, you know, sort of an expert in this unscripted world, you know, that's really kind of, you know, groundbreaking.
Yeah, and their quality is very high. We've had Tom Foreman on the show before, and he runs a great company. He did that earlier with Revolution Programming, Revolution Studios, on his show, and he still does the great food truck race, I believe, with Critical Content, and their shows are marvelous. Yeah, and Catfish, the TV show, which was a groundbreaker for MTV for a number of years. We're speaking with P. Frank Williams. He's one of the executive producers of Cop Watch America. You can catch it Wednesday night at 11 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time on BET. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Alpha on live from New Web, New York, 52 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment for P. Frank, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple041. By name, we have three people already in the room. Don't forget, our next episode is Thursday. It's a special hour, and it really is special. We will have Courtney Tomasano. He is the executive director, or she is the executive director, of BBC America. And they have a brand new Saturday feature coming up called Wonderstruck. It's all about natural history and science, and it begins this coming Saturday. And a couple of nights later, ABC will present its long-awaited live special, The Little Mermaid Live. And Katie Mellon, the executive producer of that special, will be with us. So we got a wonderful hour in store for you on Thursday. That's 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here. Be with us on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, for tomorrow will be televised. Pete Frank, tell us about the advocates, about the people that you deal with, like the group that rides along with the cops. What's their background? What do they do? How do they do what they do?
Yeah, you're talking about some of the activists that we portray on the show. Well, again, as I mentioned, you know, one of the group in Atlanta, they're called sort of the Movement Family. They consist of a civil rights lawyer named Gerald Griggs, who's been sort of on the front line in a lot of you know, police brutality and social activism in Atlanta. Another young lady, her name is Queen Longwolf, and she is actually a Native American activist whose mother was in the movement. Another guy, his name is City Munjin. He is a new activist who's just only been on the front lines in the South for a little while. And then over in New York City, we have the Cop Watch Patrol Unit, which consists of Jose LaSalle, Kimberly Ortiz, Prince Akeem. And they literally are what it says. They patrol the cops in New York City. They film them. They take notes. They make sure certain officers do certain things. And sort of the other group that we work with, you know, and I think a lot of people in your audience will know, is Black Lives Matter New York, where Hawk Newsom and DuPaul Justice, you know, a young 18-year-old girl and an older gentleman, they have been on the front lines on the Eric Garner case, many other cases that have happened in New York City, and trying to get police accountability, you know, to try to fire certain officers. So we wanted to make sure that we had a diverse section of people that we were, you know, portraying on the show.
And as a result of the situations that they were dealing with, has there been any development in the cases that they were pursuing?
Yes, you know. Obviously, I think the world knows about Eric Garner, the African-American gentleman who was sort of choked on the street corner in Staten Island 5 years ago, and he was allegedly selling cigarettes or loose cigarettes, and the officers tackled him, and he ended up dying, and he kept saying, "I can't breathe," more than 11 times. So, you know, in that case, the Department of Justice initially, you know, tried to investigate, and now they ruled that there was no reason to present charges. But, you know, luckily, through some of the actions of the folks in New York City, the Cop Watch Patrol Unit, through the Black Lives Matter, Officer Pantaloi was indeed fired by a committee, the ECR, you know, the Justice Committee there in New York City, the police commission. So their actions did result in Daniel Pantaloi getting fired. I think that the actions that they did really helped that. In Atlanta, there's a case called Jimmy Atchison about a young man who was killed. He was at his apartment building, and a FBI/local task force officer allegedly shot him in the face. And so in Atlanta, these activists have helped get body cams installed. They've, you know, broken up the FBI city task force. So, you know, you don't see the big, huge things, but there have been some stuff that they've affected in cases that they've affected.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard feedback from both the advocates and the police that they feel that their side of the situation was respected, or at least was fairly showcased, fairly portrayed?
Well, obviously the show is about the activists, so their point of view. And, you know, I hate to say it's a reality show about activism, but a lot of it is to their lives. You know, these people sacrifice themselves to a great deal in order to try to do this work. You know, it's, a lot of them don't get paid for it. So whether you're a mom of three kids and you're trying to go out and protest the police, or one of the other gentlemen has an autistic kid, you know, one of the young ladies in Atlanta has two sons, and one of her sons is in trouble, and she's been trying to figure that out. Even though she's saving the world, her own son has problems. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of really great response from the show. The show has done pretty well in terms of the viewers. You know, some officers are thankful. You know, I don't think many police see what we do as something positive for them. They think it's negative, but I do think that, you know, it's a very positive thing. And so we've gotten a lot of great response to it. So you can check it out, obviously, again, like I said, Wednesday nights on BET Cop Watch America.
Have you heard from either other police departments or from advocates in similar situations elsewhere around the country who are asking you, hey, bring a camera crew to what we're doing and ride along with us or cover what we're doing?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, I had to vet through a number of different sort of groups, you know, before we decided on the Cop Watch America cast that we have. So, you know, I did contact, and we've been in contact, and, you know, now the show is on, I'm being contacted from all over. You know, one of the big cases that just happened recently was the Botham Jean case in Texas, where the Amber Geiger shot him and, you know, allegedly mistaked his apartment. So, folks, you know, in Texas, you know, there's a black woman who just died. They shot into her house. So I've gotten, you know, some of those people have reached out to me. They're trying to learn that. You know, one of the things that we really wanted to do, and me personally, I'm from the Bay Area. I grew up in a very sort of, you know, political environment. You know, the Black Panthers, the Hells Angels, the gay movement. Is that, you know, we want people to watch this and hopefully take some of this back to your own neighborhood. So if you are in an environment and there's some police issues there, maybe you learn how to film on your own. Now you know your rights. So it's meant to inspire people in your own neighborhood, like the Black Panthers did, to do the work and hold those, you know, departments in your city accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cop Watch America. It's BET's new late night series. And it's on Wednesday night. Second episode is this Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And we have Pete Frank Williams, one of the executive producers of the series, produced by Critical Content for BET. He's live with us from L.A. this half hour. Simon Applebaum with you live as well. Thank you for joining us on this first of three episodes we are doing this week to wrap up October and bring the November in a great, great way. Of course, November 1st, that's the beginning of the mega programming era in television with the launch of Apple TV Plus. And don't forget, oh, by the way, Pete Frank, is there a possibility that some of these episodes might be on BET Plus, which launched about a month and a half ago?
Yeah, you know, and it's also on BET.com currently. So you can watch the first episode if you go to BET.com and put in Cop Watch America. Even if you haven't checked it out on TV, you can definitely check out the first episode.
And if you have a question or comment for our guest, Pete Frank Williams, make the call and make it happen. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming Friday on Smart Me Televised, Turner Classic Movies next month is a very interesting original special called Image Makers. It's all about some of the great early cinematographers that really pioneered the state of motion picture making. People like Jeff Tone, who worked with who worked with Orson Welles on his classic movie Citizen Kane, or William Daniels, who starred in the silent movie era but won an Oscar for his work on a program on a movie called The Naked City that later begat a wonderful long-running TV series produced here in New York in the 1960s, produced by Herb B. Leonard, which you can now see the episodes incidentally on YouTube, both first and second season. These are the cinematographers that really shaped the state of motion pictures. The program is called Image Makers, and it premieres in mid-November on Turner Classic Movies. And this Friday, we will have the producer-director Daniel Rame and the writer Michael Siegau will be joining us. And then the following Friday, we will have one of the co-stars of the new Disney Plus series, High School Musical the Musical, Matt Cornett. Plus, we'll have one of the writers or directors of that series, Trigger Tanner, that will be joining us a week from Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. What has been the most personal satisfaction for you in making this series?
Well, you know, before I became a television and film producer, I was a journalist at the L.A. Times, and I went to Columbia Journalism School and worked at The Source as a magazine writer. And so to me, you know, as a storyteller, taking any idea that you have from just a paragraph or a written sentence to now being, you know, or a deck on television is an incredible experience. And being able to see the audience's reaction and seeing that piece of work that you started with. And it's almost like delivering a baby. I've never had a baby, but it's sort of, you know, similar to that, that you've had a chance to some birth something and have it become on television. So, and I was supposed to see the activist grow as people, you know, obviously television is a very complicated thing. And, you know, activism is totally different from reality TV. So witnessing their growth, seeing them grow as human beings and getting the chance to just see how the audience is going to react to this. This is not your typical, you know, Love and Hip Hop or, you know, Keeping Up with the Kardashians or something salacious or, you know, Fantasy Island. This is real people doing real things. And, we, you know, at Critical Content, we wanted to make sure we did that. So it's been very satisfying, you know, satisfying to be able to see them go from these kids I saw just on the street with their cameras to now being broadcast all over the world.
How did they grow? How did they, as they were being profiled on camera, doing their thing, how did they grow as people, and how did they grow in terms of their relationship or their view of law enforcement?
I think some of them, you know, have grown as people. Some of the activists are younger, some are a little bit older. I think some of them can see now. Sometimes when you're young and you're an activist or you're just a radical, you don't see both sides of the point of view. I think some of the activists on the show now see and get a better understanding of what it's like to be police officers. Like I mentioned to you earlier, the dialogue between the police and the activists was really great. Some of them have moved even further away and have even more distrust of the police based on some of the stuff that's happened and the fact that Daniel Pantaloi didn't go to jail. So I've seen a very big personal as well as professional growth on a lot of those people. And so that's really amazing to see, you know, and obviously for their activism to grow and learn how to be. Some of them didn't agree. Like some people want more radical action. Some people want to go to the house of the officer who might have, you know, shot someone. Some people think that that's a violation. You know, some people want to totally overthrow the government. Some people want to work with the mayor. So I just wanted to show that cross-section, and I'm very, very thankful that BET gave us this opportunity with Critical Content to put this show on the air. I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and I never would have thought that this type of show would make it to the air. So it's quite amazing.
Before we go, while you wait to see whether BET will give you and Critical Content, Renault Films, by the way, is the other production company, incidentally, that is working on this series. Before you learn if you get a second season, are you working on any new projects? What's next?
So, you know, obviously we're working on this Cop Watch. We're still, editing it. We got a big series about one of the big music icons coming on in March, 25th anniversary of his passing. And so, fantastic. You know what I mean? A lot of really great things. We're doing a series about COINTELPRO. That I'll be doing at some point, which is, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the COINTELPRO program, which was sort of the secret government program that followed a lot of activists from Leonard Peltier to Malcolm X. So, yeah, man, just out here trying to make this great content and keep it going.
The program is Cop Watch America, produced by Renowned Films and Critical Content for BET. And you can see episode number 2 this Wednesday night, 11 p.m. East Pacific time on BET. Check your local where that service is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, BET.com. It's BET.com for Cop Watch America, episode 2, Wednesday, 11 p.m. It's 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on BET. P. Frank Williams, the executive producer of the series, thank you for joining us. Let's hope that this series, A, runs a long time, and B, more importantly, leads to a greater environment for both cops and the public in terms of getting along and having both sides really respect one another and cut out the brutality and the alleged abuses. And I think that would be the greatest reward and the greatest result of this series. And thank you again for coming on. It's been a joy to have you with us.
Thank you, man, for giving us this platform again Wednesday nights on BET, 11 p.m., Cop Watch America and CriticalContent.com.
You got it, P. Frank. All the greatest. Take care.
God bless.
P. Frank Williams, executive producer of Cop Watch America, joining us live from Los Angeles. Incidentally, one of the other executive producers, Sonia Slutsky, was scheduled to be with us with P. Frank. Unfortunately, something came up, and we couldn't have her on. But we thank her for at least making the effort to try to come on the program. Now time for Up as an update, where we catch up on some of the guests and topics on this program. This was a segment that we had promised you at the end of Friday's program we couldn't get to because of time, so we will right now. A couple weeks ago, we brought you Michael Winner, one of the key people at Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, who put together the brand-new Crackle series, Going From Broke. He was the executive producer on the program, was also executive by Ashton Kutcher. And you should know that in the first 5 days, More than 1 million views were recorded for that series. Looks like it's going to go to a second season. More importantly, you will see in the next couple of months more original programming on Crackle made by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment and other people as well. And earlier this summer, we showcased the first ever pilot season from the Asian American International Film Festival in New York, a group of six pilots, all produced, written, and directed by women that were showcased there. One of those pilots was from a woman named Hang Wen, who was on the series on the episode that we dealt with the festival. It's called Sideways Smile, and it deals with one young woman's new phone relationship with, shall I say, for the sake of sensitivity, her private parts. It's a very funny show. It's very well done. Yes, it is sensitive, but I think you'll really see it. Well, anyway, Seated Spark has picked up the series, 7-8 episodes, and now they're trying to, with the help of Hang Wen, raise $15,000 to market the series and maybe turn it into a regular series for some network or service with smart TV sets or smart TV devices. On Friday, when we were supposed to offer this segment, they had raised over $6,400, 43% of what they were looking for, $15,000. Well, as of 1 o'clock this afternoon, they were over halfway in their goal, $7,585 with 16 days left. That's 2 weeks and 2 days. We'll have an update on Sideways Smile and what they're up to with the Seed Spark campaign, and we'll do that on Thursday's episode. In the meantime, if you want to see Sideways Smile and how you can be a crowdfunder for it, go to SeedSpark.com. That's www.SeedSpark.com, and incidentally, you can also see Seed Spark's programming 24/7 on Roku. That's the Seed Spark TV feed that was started a few months ago on Roku and may expand soon to other smart TV sets and smart devices. And that's possibly you can see Sideways Smiles there. So again, over $7,500 raised toward a $15,000 goal. They have 2 weeks and 2 days left. We'll have an update on Sideways Smile and how it's doing with their crowdfunding campaign on Seated Spark on Thursday's episode. I want to thank both of my guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, our next episode is a special on Thursday at this time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. And joining us will be Courtney Tamasama, the executive director of BBC America, which this Saturday is launching their brand new feature, Wonderstruck. And from the ABC special, The Little Mermaid Live, coming up next Tuesday, executive producer Katie Mullen. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed? Very simple. Go to our homepage. It's on blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And our podcast will be available shortly after we go off the air at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, the IR Radio Podcast Network. Just go to irradio.com. Put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, all four words. Click, and you get our episodes. And remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about today's episode? What's your thoughts about Carbon TV and what Cop Watch America is trying to do late nights on BET? Love to hear. And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going, including this new mega programming era that begins Friday with Apple TV Plus's launch? Well, let me know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWT. However you communicate with us, it's appreciated and respected. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR, Al Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, audio transforms the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks, to the Audible Originals, and that one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We're back on Thursday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, BBC America's new service, Wonderstruck, and Little Mermaid Live. That's what we're going to cover. 3 p.m. New Pacific. You know there, Blog Talk Radio Speaker, the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and then, make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.